Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the final episode of Her Hajj Journey. I'm your host, Sister Naseba, and this is Sister Naima and Umm Talha. In this episode, the sisters will be sharing their top tips on how to make the most of your Hajj experience. Sister Naima, let's go. Tips.
I would start at the very beginning with intention. So getting really, really clear on your intention. Even if you think that it's obvious, get clear on your intention. Why are you doing this? What are you hoping to get out of it? And I actually, what helped me was to actually have a vision for how I want to show up in the Hajj. Not a vision for how I want my Hajj to be, because there's if you've been following the series, you know that there's no way of knowing what will happen and how things will go down. But you can make a decision as to how you are going to show up. So decide. I will be whatever it is, patient, sincere, cheerful, trusting, focused on dhikr, for example, speaking little, you know, that I'm going to read Quran, whatever it is, how am I going to show up? That was where I would start with intention.
I think we talked a lot about mindset and intention, which is, of course, the most important tip I think you could give. What about some of the practical things, Umm Talha, that you can actually prepare and take with you on your Hajj journey?
I think prior to the journey, pack well, you know, organize yourself and think about the things that you would need. So things like medication, things like comfortable clothing, things like comfortable footwear. All these
walking footwear. People think slippers. No. If you I would say not slippers or ships and stuff like that. Wear walking shoes.
Comfortable footwear that you can walk on, and don't take new shoes that you haven't worn.
Good point.
Wear the shoes and be comfortable and let your feet grow into, I mean, you know, get comfortable with the shoes. And be mindful that these things would have an impact on your experience. I would say really take the benefit of packing and traveling light.
Yes, definitely.
When you're in Mina, you're not going to be changing so frequently. Think about comfortable clothing, so cotton wear, trousers, socks, you know. So pack wisely, you know, because whatever you pack, you have to carry. So you have to
That's
be mindful.
That's a really good point. I didn't actually think of that. So you're lugging your stuff everywhere you go, basically.
And except the stuff you leave in Mina, because you can leave some things in Mina or in the hotels, because some people get a hotel which keeps your, you know, your main baggage. But to your point, I would say, sisters, you want to have some decent cotton trousers. People think, oh, it's a better idea to have like a dress because it's cooler, but you will need coverage on your legs. So if you've got, you know, loose-ish cotton trousers, really helpful. The other thing I found as well in the packing side of things is if you can get abayas with pockets, that helps a lot. And don't wear clothes that are too voluminous, because the toilets become a big problem. Because you're gathering, and you really want to bring everything up off the floor, basically. Absolutely. So that was a tip that I picked up when I was there.
And also, these are simple things, like when you're wearing abayas, make sure your abaya is not so dangling, so that, you know, to do wudu, and, you know, it's comfortable. I mean, comfortable clothing is very key for sisters, because obviously we have to wear abayas and scarves. So wear things that you're comfortable with.
Sis, I want to jump in. I'm so sorry. Sleeves. Make sure you can pull the sleeves up to make wudu. That's really important, because some people end up with sleeves that are too tight and they have to literally take the abaya off every time they make wudu. You don't want to do that.
So things like that, be mindful. And I think when you're packing, it's a very good idea to make a list. You know how we do shopping lists? To make a list, because some things that people will suggest, ask yourself, do I really need it? Because you'll get so many recommendations, but you have to choose one that is suitable for you. You know, so your needs are not the same as, say, Sister Naima's need. Everyone's needs are different. So things like, you know, a moisturizer, you know, like unscented, you know, shampoo, body wash, and Vaseline, your lips become dry. Some people, they take fruits and nuts because they want to keep themselves, you know, like, you know,
keep the energy up.
Snacks. Healthy, you know, wholesome snacks, because you have to be mindful. When you're there, if you take care of your body will take care of you. So be mindful of that. You know, some people, they need to be on certain medication, insulin. So check that out. Take a visit to your doctor and get all your medication sorted. Take extra stuff like, you know, painkillers, you know, you have the diarrhea tablets, you know, Savlon, other things that you may need. So have a little, like, a first aid kit. because you'll become popular in Mina tense because people will come to you. I would say that, you know, with your debt, try to clear it. Try to prepare yourself with your will and testimony. If you have any, like, you know, differences with your friends, family, or people, try to resolve that, because you don't know.
True.
You may not come back. So try to leave with, you know, all loose ends tied, so that inshallah, if something happens, you have bid, farewell to the people around you.
Yeah.
I don't think many people pay attention to that. They think, I'm going to go on Hajj and come back. No, you may not come back.
Yeah.
You know? So try to think about those things.
I think it's actually a really helpful kind of stopping point for your life to really just take stock of everything, like you said, you know, unresolved issues with people, you know, anything that's been unforgiven or debts that are still due to be paid. Your will, you mentioned it, but we need to stress it, because many, many Muslims don't realize that you're not meant to be without a will for more than 3 days, right?
Yeah.
And if you have children, if you have wealth,
assets.
If you have business, any assets, it's an absolute disaster for there to be no will. So it's always something you should do before you go on Hajj.
And it's actually quite a remarkable way to prepare yourself mentally as well.
Yeah.
Because as you're writing the will, you know, you're imagining yourself not to be there. So
yes,
I remember when I was writing my will, like in the event of my death, and you think, subhanAllah, you know, this could be it, you know. And as you're writing down how you want things to be distributed, like, you know, according to Islamic, you know, law, you really do feel like this is it.
Yeah.
You know, this is a journey that I'm making. I may not come back.
Yeah.
So I think we need to think about those things prior to the journey. So, you know, will and testimony, debts, seeking forgiveness from the people that you have wronged, or maybe clarifying issues, resolving issues, like as Naima is saying. So these are also part of preparing yourself so that you don't go with any kind of ill feeling in your heart.
Definitely. Another thing, Sister Naima, you mentioned in a few of the episodes is journaling. Journaling and dua books. Is that something you guys took with you?
I found, obviously, there's the Fortress of the Muslim, which is helpful. There's also another book, Du'as from the Quran and Sunnah, which has a slightly different set of du'as. And I was reading those du'as the whole way in the plane.
Yeah.
And I remember writing in my journal that these du'as showed me the humanity of the Prophet
ﷺ
and how in touch he was with the things that we care about. Because those du'as in there against poverty, against, you know, your name being mentioned or whatever. So many beautiful du'as of Ibrahim alayhi salam from the Quran. I just would read, and if it spoke to me, I put it in my journal.
Yeah.
And so in my journal, I had my own personal collection of the du'as from the du'a book that spoke to me, that meant something specific to me.
Yeah.
And then that's what I ended up using, mashallah. But definitely you will need lots of du'as.
Yeah.
You need lots and lots of du'as. So it's helpful to know the invocations and to have the du'as to, you know, on tap.
Yes, another aspect that I would really encourage sisters to, you know, spend some time is to learn the fiqh of Hajj. And with that, I mean, there's different aspects. The fiqh of, obviously, ibadah, tahara, all of these areas, I think it's very important for you to be acquainted with. If there's any difference of opinion, you need to resolve that. You need to ask somebody that you trust, a sheikh or an imam, so that you're clear on that matter. There are other, you know, things that I observed, sisters who, you know, took pills to stop their menstruation, but when they got there, they were asking my husband, they were asking me, and I was thinking, subhanAllah, they thought they were not going to have their, you know, haid, but then when they got there, because of travel, because of, you know, intensity of the experience, they started, you know, spotting, so they were not sure what to do. So it's very important that you are well-versed in different scenarios that you may face with menstruation, even miscarriages. Sometimes, you know, some people, they didn't realize they were expecting, so they had miscarriages, so how to deal with that. So as a woman, I think it's very important to know what to do in the case of haid, menstruation, or even the istihada.
There's a lot of cases that are specific to women. So I think it's really important for us as women to...
So learn the fiqh of tahara and ibadah. Even simple things like, okay, wiping over your socks. You know, sometimes, you know, you're in a situation where you can't have lots of water to do your wudu. So it makes sense to, you know, have your wudu and wear socks so you can wipe over it. So try to learn these things so that when you're there, you're not, you know, frustrated or you're not.
And you're
confused.
Not in the books trying to check.
Yes.
Because that was for me. Time. That was actually one of the things I felt that took away from my sa'i. Because the dua is not one that you may know because we don't say it in ordinary life.
Yeah.
So I had to kind of learn it, but I hadn't memorized that one beforehand. So I remember when we first went, I had to read it from my book, and I didn't like that. I wanted to know it off by heart. So just being acquainted with the du'as, getting used to saying them, even if you haven't memorized them completely, all the du'as that will be necessary at specific times on the Hajj, I think is a good use of your time.
I would like to reiterate that, subhanAllah, I went on Umrah, I think it was, and there was an auntie who did not know how to say the talbiyah.
Oh.
And I found myself, you know, like just like encouraging her to say the talbiyah. And to be honest, out of all the adhkar and du'as, talbiyah is the easiest. But you'd be surprised how people embark on this great journey and the basic we are not, you know, taking care of. So I would really echo what Naima said, is the du'as that you are supposed to make, like the du'as in the tawaf, you know, between the Yemeni corner, رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Memorize it, because you have certain time to prepare yourself. So it's worthwhile memorizing so that you can really say it with your heart and mind. Dua for, like, say, drinking Zamzam water. You're going to have so many opportunities for drinking Zamzam water. Knowing how to pray the janazah prayer, because when you're in the haram, there's always janazah prayer. And sometimes people don't know how to pray janazah prayer, you know? So things like that, learn how to do. And if it's part of our ibadah, we should prioritize.
Yeah, definitely. And I think speaking to people who have been on Hajj, you know, like I'm speaking to you guys today, will probably have a great amount of benefit, because you'll get to see their experiences and, you know, learn from perhaps their mistakes and, you know, benefit, inshallah. With that, inshallah, we'll move to a break and we will carry on when we get back. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back. So we were talking about some of the tips that we can practically use on Hajj. One thing that I wanted to mention, how can we as women safeguard ourselves? Because we have heard of stories where, you know, there can be forms of sexual harassment and, you know, dangers for women on a Hajj or Umrah. So what tips do you sisters have to safeguard yourself?
I think having a rucksack really helps, because then you have a distance between yourself and people behind you. Having, you know, your husband close to you, you know, maybe behind you, where you can see where you're going and you can avoid certain clashes with the opposite gender, helps. And I think always keeping close to your companion, your husband or your mahram, and other people that you go on Hajj with, really does protect you and safeguard you. And not wandering off and being curious. So you have to really take your personal safety seriously and not become adventurous at your detriment, really.
Definitely. Yeah, and I think, you know, obviously there's so many different ways now of keeping your personal belongings safe against your body. So under your scarf, you know, if it's in your pocket, you know, inside, basically, not having things hanging out, not having things hanging off the back of you. Nothing that would be tempting to anybody if they just, you know, decided to pick it.
That's
the kind of thing that I would say.
You mentioned the essence of Hajj. What is the essence of Hajj, sisters?
The essence of Hajj is to come back sinless, because, you know, everyone's going to that journey. And if you look at the different rites and steps that you're taking, it's you trying to shed yourself from the sins that you have accumulated. So we know the hadith of the Prophet, you know, the reward for an accepted Hajj is nothing but Jannah. So we know that anything in life of value, it requires effort, energy and time from you. So you have to give it that, you know, importance so that you can achieve the objective of the act that you're engaging in.
You know, for those of us who are not on Hajj, Yawm al-Arafah obviously is a day that, you know, we commemorate. But when you're on Hajj, one of the things that, alhamdulillah, I benefited from was just the knowledge that I needed to know how I was going to spend my time. So if we're talking about preparing, you want to, if all your preparation is for Arafah, like Arafah is the day, so you don't want to prepare for other things and not be thinking about Arafah and how you're going to manage your time, what you're going to be doing as an ibadah, the du'as, we talked about this before, really taking time to plan which du'as you want to say, you know, who are you making du'a for, if some people like to make that du'a list where it's, you know, your dream du'as, etc. Like, that's the time.
Yeah.
That day is the day, you know, and then just making decisions again about how you want to show up on the day of Arafah, because you've got so many people there at different stages in their own iman and also sort of different life stages. Some people have got babies there. There's old people there as well. Yeah. So how can you make sure that you are doing your ibadah but also be of service to others, because that's also one of the things we're encouraged to do in Hajj.
The virtues of Arafah, of the day of Arafah.
Can I just add something else before we move on? Is that in that time when you're in Arafah, you have to be mindful that there is an element of repenting back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that happens only when you take time to reflect over your sins. And that is quite a good thing to do away from the people. So one of the tips that I found is to have an umbrella, you know, so that you can go away from the tent and you can basically have shade, because it is hot, and have that moment to yourself so you're not in other people's sight. And really take account of yourself, you know, have that level of, you know, muhasaba, where you're thinking all the sins that you have committed. And then that would make you humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and really feel the du'as that you're making. So I think having that alone time is very important, because on the day of Arafah, the Hajj group that you go with, they will provide you with food, they will provide you with drink. Actually, thinking back, on the day of Arafah, some of the food that they provided was really nice, really delicious. And that can be a distraction, because when you eat a lot, you know, you sleep a lot and then you waste a lot. So you have to be mindful that, okay, this day is not to indulge, but rather to save myself, to really make the most out of the time that I have. And it goes really quickly. So you have to really plan, what are you going to do? Some people, they need to rest for whatever reason. So maybe plan that. Okay, it's going to be a half an hour rest, but don't sleep throughout, because some have done that. They have slept throughout. And he thinks, subhanAllah, when are they going to make du'a? So you can't get caught up in all of that. You have to really manage your own time so that it's effectively used.
I like what you mentioned about taking alone time, because actually, in a way, it's kind of hard to have alone time during Hajj because there are so many people around. But I remember I got to get out of the tent to a place where I could see the sky. And there was one tree, one tree near our tent. And I remember I took the leaf from that tree and I put it in my journal. And I still have that leaf from that tree just as a memento, because I remember the sensation of being out in the light, in the sun, and being so connected, because nothing else mattered. Nothing else was around me. Nothing else was actually impinging on me. I was in that zone that we talk about. And I think if you can make intention to have as many of those moments of connection throughout, you, inshallah, will come away with just so much more from the Hajj, inshallah.
Yeah, and I think that moment of, like, you know, being away from the crowd, but in your own zone, is very important, because that's the thing that really makes you connected to the rituals of Hajj, where you can really find yourself making that sincere dua or thinking about why you're here and yearning to really have your Hajj accepted. Because remember, that's the goal. So every so often you'll be diverted, distracted, and it's important that you take yourself out of that distraction, because Mecca, you know, a place where you go for the first time, there's so many distractions. You know, there's so many eateries, there's so many shopping places, and you have to be mindful. You're not there for that. You're there to make this sacred journey, and that journey is going to be once in a lifetime, and you have to be focused. And that takes a lot of effort.
I think as women especially, we like to do that shopping, and it's easy to get sucked in, and especially when you're tired as well, you know, it's easy to kind of give up. But I guess continuously renewing that intention and saying, you know what, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity, I may never be able to come back here again, let me do my best and give it my all.
Do you know what really helps is to be around like-minded people, because they will pull you in and they will remind you and they will actually help you to be
focused.
That's
what I was going to mention, the people you go to Hajj with are so important, because you know, there's so many hadith about your companions and the people around you, but you know, you mentioned before that it's nice to have like a female like guide or leader in some sense, you know, just in the tense of Mina, someone that can, you know, encourage you to recite Quran or give halaqat, as you mentioned.
You know what? Let me tell you, Nusayba, when you're in the Mina tents and you meet your Hajj group for the first time, you'll be able to distinguish who are the time wasters, sorry to put it like this, and who are the productive people who want to utilize the time. Hang out with the people who are productive because more likely you'll be like them and avoid... Don't shun them, but avoid people who are just chilling and having a good time as if it's their, like, you know, summer break. Because you are with the people that you hang around with because they would pull you towards that direction. So try to be around people who are always doing things that is of benefit to them spiritually and also as a service to other people, because you'll be influenced by their doings. Mm-hmm. And they will also remind you as well. When you see a sister whose lips is moving, you'll think, oh, subhanAllah, I should do some adhkar. Mm-hmm. When you see a sister who's reciting the Quran, you'll think, maybe I should do recitation. But when you see people complaining, you think, yeah, it's true, it's taking such a long time. Because we are, as human beings, we get affected by the environment that we're in. So try to expose yourself to people who are doing things that they should be doing and gravitate towards those kind of people.
And something else as well, if you can, make intention to be one of those people.
Yes.
Make intention to be one of those people who is, you know, an inspiration to others, who helps others, just because you are so focused on what you're doing. Because just like you can be inspired by others, others can also be inspired by you. So in a way, Hajj is really a call for you to become your better self.
Yeah.
You know, to become the better version of yourself. Inshallah, may Allah accept all our deeds. Ameen.
Ameen. Ameen. And you know, everyone would say to you, you know, Hajj requires patience. I would say it requires bags of patience. If one bag's run out, you have to gather another bag, because throughout the whole journey, you need to have patience with the people, with the crowd, with the facilities, with exhaustion. Sometimes you'll be so tired and exhausted. And don't forget, as women, you have to be wearing your hijab when you're going out. It will really impact you, so you have to persevere and have patience. And that something is, you know, very difficult at times when you're really, really, you know, troubled with the fatigue and the rituals. You know, sometimes, you know, while you're there, you're not sleeping well, you're not eating well, you know, and sometimes people, you know, they become dehydrated. So you have to make sure that you're eating well to the best of your ability, you're sleeping well. I know there's a lot of temptation for sisters in Mina tends to like stay up late and chat, you know, because some people, they may really enjoy their Hajj group, but you have to be disciplined to think, no, I've got a heavy day ahead, I need to get my rest. And you have to be quite disciplined with your body's need, like eating, sleeping and resting well.
We're coming up to the end of the episode, sisters. What are your final tips or your best pieces of advice that you'd like to leave the viewers with, Sister Naima?
I think I'll say what I've been saying all along, which is make your intention and decide how you are going to show up on Hajj, and have that vision for how you would like to show up and what you hope to gain from the Hajj, inshallah. And seriously, for me, that decision to be mindful, to be present, to be focused, to slow down, to quiet down, it really just, it transformed my experience. In spite of the ups and downs and everything that happened, it was just a transformational experience for me. And I pray that it's a transformational experience for other sisters as well, inshallah.
Inshallah.
And Talha?
I would say Hajj is a lifetime journey, and it is not easy, it's difficult. But if you trust in Allah, if you ask Allah for His aid, then Allah does make things easy for you, and He will give you the coping mechanism to deal with all the challenges that come your way. But the important thing for you is to submit to the will of Allah, and then you'll see how Allah will take care of you. And that goal you must have in the beginning, from the onset, is that I want a Hajj that is mabrur, accepted Hajj. So when you have this high ambition, you're willing to go through all the difficulties, you're willing to go through all the sacrifices, because you want this great reward, and that reward is not going to come with ease. So you have to bear that in mind and take all the preparation, planning and organization, because it's worth it. You know, you see when people plan for a summer vacation or a wedding, they go through so much planning, preparing, shopping trips. Subhanallah, Hajj is better than that,
Hajj,
you know.
Yeah.
Do better than that for Hajj, because Hajj is the pillar of Islam, and it's one of the journey that if you do it well, it will transform you for the better.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khair to the both of you for all of your advice, all of your tips, your personal experiences. I have definitely benefited myself, and I'm sure all of the viewers will have benefited as well. And with that, inshallah, that we are coming to the end of this series. I pray that all of you viewers have benefited. Jazakallah khair for watching. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.